Well, good morning. Happy New Year. So last week was a privilege for me. I have a friend in Yuba City that I've been walking with for close to 5 years as him and his fiance at the time were walking through difficulties and struggles and trying to overcome just a multiplicity of things that were coming against them. And walking with them, praying with them, encouraging them, I was able to officiate and bring them together and help them become husband and wife. And it was just a glorious time, so much fun to see friends and be there. And I thank you for that opportunity. That's something that, you know, when I came and interviewed, Meredith and I were working with college students, and all of my college students in the time right before we left got engaged. And now they're asking me to come back and officiate their weddings, and I'm blown away. It's so amazing and so wonderful. The woman and the man that I did the wedding for are our age. Meredith went to school with Angela from kindergarten through high school, and they're good friends, have known each other for years. And so just to be a part of that and walk their story was a really, really great time. So thank you for that. But I listened to Scott when I was coming back from Yuba City, and he did an amazing job. Let's give it up for Scott. Thank you very much for filling in for me. Appreciate that. And we're going to do more of that. I want to build a teaching team, and I want to kind of work with people's strengths and what it is that they have. You don't need to hear me all the time. I'm sure that you guys would love that. We're going to do new things and walk in new ways. And I'm really excited to kind of lead in the way that I feel that God is directing me and guiding through this. And that kind of brings me to this this service and what it is that we have. How many of you, just out of curiosity, you don't have to tell me what it was, but how many of you guys set a New Year's resolution this year? Okay. How many of you that just raised your hand are still on your New Year's resolution? Okay, good. Well, I resolved this year that I was going to do more reading and get into more books and read through. When I was in seminary, I was a voracious reader. I would read all the time, and I got sick of it. So I'm not a very good reader. It's not one of the things that I like to do. I don't just pick up a book and sit down and read for hours. I would much rather do something else with my time. But I realize that there's a lot that I can be doing and learning and going through this. As I've never been a senior pastor before, I want to hear and learn from as many people as I can and watch what they do and listen to what they have to say and be learning and growing at the same time that I'm also calling people to learn and grow. And so I kind of resolved to doing that, and I picked up 3 books, and I'm 3/4 of the way through all of them, and just getting it, and I'm confused across the board. I shouldn't have read 3 books at the same time. I can't remember who said what when, but it's been good. And one of the books that I picked up, I did this last year, but one of the guys that I've gotten opportunity to walk with and speak to a few times, he lives down in Southern California, down in San Diego area, and his name is Bob Goff. I've mentioned him before. He wrote a devotional a couple years ago, and it's a 365-day devotion, and I was reading this morning as I got into my office at 4 o'clock because I couldn't sleep last night after the Bears won, but it gave me a heart attack because, like always, they didn't play until the 4th quarter and then won the game in the last 2 minutes of that 4th quarter. So it was one of those things that I was just, oh, I love it. I love it. But I wanted to read this to you because I thought that this was very pertinent and really spoke to where we're going today. So he titles it Step Out of Fear and Into Freedom. And it says, a friend of mine plays the guitar for a band. When his crew was coming through town to play at a sold-out arena, he called and asked if I wanted a ticket to the show. He says, I felt like a kid who had found one of Wonka's golden tickets. And when I got inside the arena, I started walking up to the nosebleed section. At the top of the stairs, a guy stopped me and looked at my ticket with his flashlight and told me I was in the wrong section. I wondered how far the seats actually were, and the man pointed downwards and said, your ticket would get me on the main floor. And I was thrilled. He says, are you kidding me? So I walked down to the stairs, got on the floor where another usher looked at my ticket and said, oh, you're in the wrong section. And I thought, oh, shoot. I'm going to have to go all the way back up to the rafters. But then I thought, at least I'm going to get my steps in today. The guy said, actually, with this ticket, you can go into the mosh pit. I wasn't sure what that was, but I was game. I arrived next to the stage where the mosh pit was, and two guys looked at my ticket and said, you know what? This is an all-access pass. You can go anywhere you want with this thing. He says, too often we don't live with the freedom of an all-access pass. We get hemmed in by our circumstances and the people we spend the most time with. Maybe for you it's your parents. They were amateurs when you arrived on this earth, or a hospital, or by a stork. They didn't know what to do with you. Perhaps they just didn't want you to get hurt or were dealing with fear and spoke a lot of no's over you and thought said, don't do this or don't do that. Be careful. Little by little, the world thought that you thought was filled to the brim with freedom was displaced by one marked with caution and limitations. Your parents weren't trying to mess you up, but maybe you adopted a mindset that dismissed freedom as something available to you. The truth is, you have an all-access pass to more freedom than you might think. You can live with freedom in relationships, freedom to go deeper, freedom to ask God questions. Experience that freedom right now in your life. You have a magnificent invitation to go deeper. Make courageous changes. Expand your faith. What's your next move? Bob always has a way of making what seems irrelevant relevant, and I've appreciated about that that in him for a long time. He writes a lot of books, and in the back of every book that he writes, he puts his phone number, and if you call that number, he answers, and he will speak to you regardless of the time, regardless of place. And he prays with you. It's not a long conversation, but he's genuine in that. He feels that that's his gift, that he can offer people hope and give them encouragement when they need it. And so he's always been that. He's been that for me. I've talked to him several times, and I'm just encouraged by him. But this is the time frame that we get to come, and we want to be encouraged by what it is that we have going on and what it is that we're looking for. And we set these ideas, these New Year's resolutions that we're going to make changes in our life. And to our dismay, most of the time, we don't continue to do what it is that we set out to do. But this year, I want this to be a little different. I want to encourage you and challenge you and call you to take a deeper walk with Christ. And what that looks like is being understanding, maybe, what it means to be a new creation. So if you would you please stand with me? We're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. Second Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 11. Sorry, I should have had this ready beforehand, but here we go. It says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us. Is that right? No, yeah, I'm right. Thank you. So that you may also appear to those who boast about outward appearance and not about what's in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. And if we are in a right mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore we all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Would you pray with me? Father, I'm so in awe of everything that it is that you have done, and I'm so in awe of what it is that you are calling us into. God, we are not the same old. We're not used. We're not even rehabilitated. We're a new creation through what it is that you've done through your cross and given to us to walk in and function. So God, as we open this up and we unpack what it means to be a new creation, Lord, I ask that you continue to speak through us, that you challenge us, that you draw us nearer to you, that as we look at ourselves, we don't see ourselves, we see you in us. And we just thank you, Father, for what it is that you're going to do. I thank you, Father, for this time, for this place. I ask, Father, that you are lifted up and blessed by it all. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. So, how many of you have ever bought something new? How many of you have ever bought something used? And how many of you ever found that that thing that you bought used was used for a reason and is no longer good for anything? You know, I go on a lot and I look at things, and as I'm thinking about what I should buy, there's a kind of a process that I go through. I look at used and I see, well, their description of used means that it's pretty beat up. I look at refurbished, which means that it's been fixed. There was something wrong with it that was sent back and they've since corrected it and sent it back out. They have like new, which I have no idea what that means. It's lightly used, like new. That just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And then they have new, brand new in the box. And as you think of those things, and as we look at those things, there are times where those may apply, and there are times where they absolutely do not. I don't want to buy a used toothbrush. You know, I don't want to use something that somebody has already used. That's going to like bring distress to me. You know, I'm looking very forward to the time frame in which God promises that we will have new bodies where I stand up, I'm not gonna creak and crack, and if I lift anything heavier than a feather, my arms don't feel like they're gonna fall out of socket. You know, I'm really looking forward to that, but there's a process in this that we are called a new creation. It says that the old has gone away and the new has come. And I want to take a look at this. We're going to do a series for the next 4 weeks. It's called Made New. And we're going to look at what it means to be a new creation. And I'm going to challenge you in this. Every week there's going to be a new challenge that we are going to go into and look at and try and test ourselves against what it means to be a new creation. This week, it's being made new by the Word. Studying Scripture, getting into reading of Scripture. Maybe some of you have set a plan to read through the Bible in a year. Maybe you've never even read a page in the Bible before. Whatever it is, I want to challenge you this year that we are going to do something together. And I want to encourage you through it. And I want to challenge you through it. I want this to be a year that you grow more in the health of who it is you are as a Christian, as you seek after God and God seeks after you. Jesus taught that if you abide in me, I'll abide in you. He says, apart from me, you can't do anything, but with me, you'll bear a lot of fruit. I want to be a fruit-bearing church. And that looks like understanding what it means to be a new creation. This passage in 2 Corinthians was one of those things that was, it was amazing because Paul is writing to a group of believers who weren't Jewish. He's writing to people outside of the Old Testament faith and encouraging them to come in and be new from where it was that they were walking. But you have to understand, these people that he's talking to were pagans. They practiced all sorts of religiosity. They practiced worshiping of multiple gods. They were Greek influenced, and so they served all of the Greek gods. And when Rome came into power and transformed all their names, they served the Roman gods. They didn't understand what it was mean to be monotheistic. And so as Paul is writing to them and encouraging them, he says, that was the old stuff. You need to come and be new, set apart, different than you were before. And that's what it means as we come into being made new. The first point I want to make today is that the Word reveals who we were and who we are becoming. The Word reveals who we were and who we are becoming. Look at 14 through 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that no one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, regard no one according to the flesh. And even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we no longer regard him thus. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. That was something that was so unique and so powerful to the audience of the first century church. The people of Corinth weren't accustomed to that type of language. But it doesn't just speak to them, it speaks to us just as much today as it did to them back then. You're new, so don't act like the old. Don't continue doing the same things that you always did, expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity. Do something different. Practice something that is completely out of your comfort zone and do something that you're being called to do. If we practice being made new and we practice getting into a place where we're studying together, we're reading the Bible together, we're understanding what it is that we are called as people, as Christians, and then begin to live that lifestyle in the way in which the Bible lays out for us, I guarantee our world would change. But if all we ever do is just come on Sunday morning and we sit and we stand and we sing and we sit and we listen and then we go home and nothing has ever happened, of what value is it? Of what value is it? An ultimate price was paid. Paul labels this out and lays this out really well in 2 Corinthians. He says that a price was paid, that the person who bore no sin became sin so that we could have the righteousness of God. If that ultimate price was paid, then we shouldn't use it as used. We shouldn't use it as refurbished. We shouldn't use it as like new or slightly used. It's brand new. It's brand new. It's never been used. It's never been seen. It's never been done before. It was something that was so unique and so powerful that as Paul is likening these terms to you, I hope it transforms you where you hear it today. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, he says, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on your new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." What does it mean to put on righteousness? As we went, I purposefully kind of orientated and made these sermon series to play off of each other, especially as you're getting to know me and I'm getting to know you. I started with the armor of God for a very specific reason, because I think that we need to be armored up. We need to be ready for what it is that the world is going to throw at us. We need to be prepared for what it is that we are going to face, because hardship is going to come if we claim to be followers of Christ. It's never promised that things are going to be easy. It's never promised that everything is going to be good. It's always promised that we are going to have trials, that we are going to have struggles, that we are going to have hardships. And we need to be ready when those things come. So putting on the full armor of God was very significant and very relevant. Walking into a time of Advent where we got to celebrate the coming of the Emmanuel, the God with us, that he put on flesh and became our sin so that we could have the righteousness of God. That was significant as well. Into now, coming into the new year, starting something brand new. You don't know me as well, and I don't know you as well, and now we get to walk through this together and learn from each other and encourage each other and uplift each other and challenge each other and hold each other accountable. We're brand new. We're new creations in Christ. One of the Pharisees came to Jesus at night. It's one of the passages in the Bible. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. It's where we get that John 3:16, the passage that led me to Christ in the first place. Asking the question of what is John 3:16 and finding the answer: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish but have everlasting life. Well, that verse came from a conversation that a Pharisee and Jesus had at night. The Pharisee's name was Nicodemus. I call him Nick. Nick at night. He came to Jesus because he didn't want to be seen with him. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader, but he was transformed by the things that Jesus was saying, the things that he was doing, and he came to him at night so that nobody would see him and nobody would think different of him. And he asked these questions of Jesus about what he was talking about. And Jesus says, "Don't you know that what's flesh is flesh and what's spirit is spirit? You have to be born again." And that was confusing to Nicodemus. He didn't understand. And he started asking, "What does it mean? Does it mean I have to crawl up back into my mom's womb? Because that would be really hard to do." And Jesus says, no, you have to be renewed. You have to be born again. If you're born in the flesh, then you're of the flesh. But if you're born in the spirit, you're a spirit. You're made new. You're brand new. You're born again. That's what it meant. And it was something that was confusing to him. But as Jesus lays it out and comes to a place where he's teaching this Pharisee at night, and this Pharisee is listening and eating up what it is that Jesus has to say, he gives him and says that whoever believes in me will not die, but will live forever. And Nicodemus couldn't understand. But there was something in him. There was something about him. There was something about the words of Jesus that transformed his heart. He needed to know the reasons why it was the way that it was. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, "We are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." We celebrate that with baptism, being buried in Christ's likeness and resurrected like Christ was resurrected from the grave, to walk in newness of life. What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be made new? What does it mean to be a new creation? These are the questions that we have to contend with and look at and make sure that we are walking out what it is that God is calling us into. The word reveals who we were and who we are becoming. And the world reframes how we see the world and people. Look at verse 16. It says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer." There was something that happened in the early church. During the ministry of Paul, some of the people took Paul's writings, and they began to live in a fact or believe in a fact that somehow all flesh was evil, and that he couldn't be flesh because Jesus wasn't evil. And so they started saying that Jesus was, he only appeared to be human. He was only spirit, and that you couldn't actually touch him because flesh was evil. It was known as Gnosticism, and it was rampant in the first century church. John outlived all of the other disciples, and he writes his gospel much later, after the fact, after all the other disciples had been martyred. And he writes and says, "And the word became flesh." And he says, "I testified to this. I walked with him. I felt his wounds. I saw who he was. He was not just a spirit. He was a man. He was flesh." It was so easy for us to think about and look at the things that we do. You know, it's nothing new. Just slightly removed from Christ's life and death, the first century church started making up their own stories, just like the church does today. There are so many different denominations because we differ on just minor variances of things. And if I can't agree with you, then I can't walk with you. That's not Christ-like. It's okay to not agree with everything. It's okay to differ on opinions. It's okay to be different and still be together. I am so tired of the culture in this country that's become a cancel culture, that if you don't agree with me, then I can't associate with you. That's bogus. That's bogus. And that breaks God's heart. It's okay to be different. We're not created to be the same. Paul says that we are all members of one body with different aspects of that membership. If all of us were pastors, then what are you doing here? You have no need to listen to me. If all of us were evangelists, then all of us are outside talking to nobody because we're all the same. If all of us were prophets, then I don't know what would happen. That would just be weird. We're meant to be different. We fill different roles. We come together and we strengthen each other because my gifts are not your gifts and your gifts are not my gifts. My strengths are not your strengths and your strengths are not my strengths. My weaknesses are not your weaknesses and your weaknesses are not my weaknesses. We can walk together, we can encourage each other, we can uplift each other and challenge each other and grow each other. Not because we're the same, but because we are different. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19 say this: "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do not perceive it. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God's promise is that he's going to do new things, that he's going to bring about his purpose, that he's going to bring about his work and his ways in his perfect timing. And it doesn't happen like we think it needs to happen. It oftentimes is much different than the way that we think it needs to look. But God always brings about his good and perfect plan in his good and perfect time. We just need to be diligent to walk the road, to be challenged, and to challenge others. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good, and what is acceptable, and what is perfect." We should be different. If we claim to be in Christ, our lives should look different. We should act different. Our words should be different. Our actions should be different. The way in which we interact with people should be different. If I claim something and I do something that I've always done, then there's no change. Nothing's happened. Nothing's taken root. Nothing has begun to flourish. Nothing is active in my life. But if something comes and it transforms me, it means that it's made me into something that I wasn't before. And now I am. When we allow God to transform our mind, when we allow him to renew our mind and transform what it is that's going on, it's a full body makeover. It starts in our head because it has to come in here. We have to process through it and come to a place where we can accept it or not accept it. But when we come to a place where we accept it, it begins to work from our head to our heart. Because it has to make this foot journey to come to our heart to begin to transform who we are so that we begin to act differently, so that we begin to love differently, so that we begin to interact with others differently. And once it comes here to our heart, then it goes to the extremities, then it goes to the hands, and it goes to the feet, and we begin to walk out our lives that's been transformed by the renewing of our mind and the renewing of our heart to our feet and our hands, in the ways in which we interact and help and encourage and uplift other people. Being made new means that our life looks different than it used to. It means that we act and we walk in a way that's different than what we used to. It means that we think of others before we think of ourselves. Guys, if we'll do that, if we will live that life, if we will even covenant today for 1 year to begin to walk out what this means in our life, to look at what it means to study Scripture, to look at what it means to pray to God, what it means to serve others, what it means to give generously to the church. If we will look at these things and begin to allow those to transform our mind first and then our heart and then our extremities, I guarantee our lives, our houses, our workplace, our area, our state, our country, our world will change. And it's not by anything that we do. It's by being diligent to what God calls us to and then taking this as his instruction manual and beginning to live this out in my life. What it means to be a husband, what it means to be a father, what it means to be a child, what it means to be a brother, what it means to be a child of God. And if I allow this to speak into my mind first and then my heart and then my extremities, my life is going to look different. The word reveals who we were and who we are becoming. And the world reframes how we see the world and people. And the world sends us out as ambassadors of reconciliation. I love that. Oh, we get the ability, we get the privilege to be called ambassadors for Christ. That means that when you guys walk out of here today, I have your sashes out there that you get to put on a sash and you get to go out into all of the world as an ambassador. You're an ambassador for Christ. It means that where you go, Christ goes with you. That you represent the King of Kings. And when you represent the King of Kings, your life should look like the King of Kings. You're an ambassador for Christ. Look at what it says in verses 18 through 21 again. It says, all of this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It means that we can go out to others and we can reconcile them to God by simply living a life that's worthy of his call. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's an amen. That's an amen. We get to be ambassadors for something that is so cool as grace. We get to go, even though we are fallen, even though we fall short, even though we are not perfect, we get to represent the perfect King. Even though we fall every day, even though we stumble, even though we can't do it ourselves, we get to go in the power of the mighty King of Kings and be an ambassador to reconcile people to him, acknowledging that I fall short. And it doesn't matter if you fall short, because the one who knew no sin wants to become your sin so that you also could walk in reconciliation. If that was the message that we were preaching, people would flood these doors. This room would fill up faster than we would know what to do with. We'd have to have these awesome conversations about having multiple services because you're an ambassador for Christ. You get to preach the truth by simply living the life that he's called you to live. But if we're going to do that, our life needs to look different. We need to be founded in the Word. We need to be studying it together. We need to be looking at what it says for us. This last slide that I have on the screen. How many of you guys have the YouVersion Bible app? Okay, a lot of you. I want to give it to everybody. And if you pull out your phones right now, everybody in this room right now, I'm giving you permission. This has never happened. But I want you to pull out your phones. There's a QR code at the bottom of the screen. I'll move out of the way. If you don't know what a QR code, talk to somebody in this section right here, and they will help you out. But if you pull out your camera and you hold it over the screen and you can zoom in, there should, just don't take a picture, just hold it over and then click the little link at the bottom. And that will take you to YouVersion, to the Bible app. Guys, this is a powerful tool. I have it on my phone. I prefer the paper Bible. I always have one of these with me. I have one in my truck. I have like 10 in my office. I have one at home. I have a Bible everywhere. But if I don't have my Bible, I always have this version. And the YouVersion, it has over 1,300 languages. So no matter what language you speak, it's on there. And you can download it, and you can take it with you wherever you go. But that's not what I'm so enamored about. They also have these journeys that we can take, these Bible readings that we can take. And this one, the 1 year, the Bible in a year, I really want to challenge you to take this, go home, get that, and let's do it together. Starting today. And if you do this, it's going to give you a reading, a couple chapters in Genesis, a couple chapters in Matthew, Psalms, and Proverbs. It takes 15 minutes every day for 365 days. And by the end of this, you will have read the entirety of the Bible. And it breaks it up in a way that's very manageable. I know what you're saying. Says, I'm going to start something and I'm going to forget. And once I don't do it, then I got to walk away. And what I have to say to that is that's bogus. If you forget to eat, you're not going to say, oh man, I forgot to eat. I'm never eating again. I swear off dinner. I swear off lunch. I forgot breakfast, so I can't eat ever again. No, you would eat lunch. You'd eat breakfast. You'd eat dinner the next day, whatever it had to be. You would do this. Don't beat yourself up if you miss a day. It's okay. I give you grace. Step up, though, and challenge yourself to do something maybe you've never done before. Let's do this together. I want to encourage you through this process. I want to encourage you as you go through this. Maybe you've never read the Bible. Maybe you don't believe the Bible to be true. Test it. Give it a month. For 30 days, be devoted to this. Every day, pick up your Bible for 15 minutes and read the passages. See if it doesn't start to transform your mind. And if it transforms your mind, see if it doesn't start transforming your heart. And when it transforms your heart, watch as it moves to your extremities. It will change your life. Truly, it will change your life. I started this discipline, it's been 16 years ago now, that I said, you know what, I'm going to read the Bible in a year. And I've done it every year since. And I don't take 365 days. I get through it in a month. I just devote myself to study of Scripture over and over and over and over and over again, because every day God renews my mind, and every day God renews my heart, and every day He gives me the ability to walk out what He's doing in my life. And it's not because of me, it's because of Him and Him alone. I want you guys to take this serious, and I want to challenge you. Do it. Do it. And if you miss a day, don't kick yourself. Get up, eat breakfast, eat lunch, whatever. Sit down, 15 minutes. Most of us take more time in the bathroom than that. As we look at this journey of what it means to be new, to be made new, there are a lot of things that I want to start. I haven't talked to anybody about this, but I see the cross hanging on the wall. To me, the cross is not a decoration. It's the destination. It's a place that we go when we need help. So I want to start a prayer ministry where if you're going through something, if you're struggling through something, if you need prayer, meet me at the cross. I'll pray for you. I pray for you even though I don't know what you're going through. I pray every day for this church, for each of you. As I'm beginning to know your names, as I'm beginning to know your stories, I get to know a little bit more about how I can pray for you. I want to know you, and I want you to know me. I promise you, I will always be transparent because I don't know how else to be. I will show you my heart, and I will lay it on my sleeves, and I'll let you judge me for what you want to judge me for. I don't care because I'm not trying to appease you. I'm trying to appease him. He is the one that I want to give my worthy to. He's the one that I want to lay my crown at his feet. He's the one that I want to go to the destination, not the decoration. I want to meet Christ where Christ is. And I want to meet you there too. So every service on Sundays, after everything's over, that's where I'll be. And if you want to come and be prayed for, I'll pray for you. And I want to build a team. If you want to pray for others, I want you to come up to the cross. I want you to meet me there. And let's pray for people. Let's uplift people. Let's do something different. Let's be made new. Because that's what it means. That's what we hope. And that's what we long to do. Amen?
Amen.
Would you pray with me? Father God, Lord, I'm just so humbled and I feel so inept. But God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is where you have called me to. This is what you've led me to, and this is something that you have been preparing in me for a really, really long time. And God, as you begin to call people to yourself, as you begin to transform their mind, as you begin to transform their heart, as their heart begins to extend to their extremities, and they begin to walk something and begin to live something and begin to experience what it means to be made new, God, I ask that you bind us together. That you bring us together in corporate worship, Father, that our eyes are not fixed on each other, our eyes are fixed on you as the author and perfecter of our faith. That we begin to walk out what it means to be a new creation, that we allow that message to transform our mind, that we allow that message to transform our heart, that we allow that message to extend to our extremities, to our hands and to our feet, that we can be a better neighbor, that we can be better husbands and wives, that we can be better children, that we can be better brothers and sisters and all of it. God, I thank you for what it is that you're going to do. God, I ask for this challenge that goes out, that we begin to seek after you, that our lives are forever changed in a way in which we can start to interact and we can start to encourage, we can start to lift each other up or also keep each other accountable to what it is that we're doing. God, I ask that none of this is for our benefit, but all of this is for your glory. I thank you, Father, for this day, for this time, for this place, and I ask, Father, that you keep us safe in all of it. Guide us and direct us and use us for your purpose, for it's in Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.